than your need for more of Jesus in your life. But the real question is, do you want? Do you want more of Him? You know, when Vicki just got back from spending 5 days with our daughter and son-in-law and our grandchildren, and I was very happy that she could go and spend some time with them, be a blessing to the children. And I'm thankful for modern technology. I got pictures and videos and FaceTime and, you know, all of these kind of things. You can be seated if you like. But, man, I was glad when she came home. I don't like to be away from her. I don't like distance between us. I love spending time with her. I'm very thankful that no matter where I go, the Lord goes with me. I never have to be separated from Him. But I still want more. I want to experience Him on a level that I've never experienced Him before. That's just the way every day is with me. I want to experience Him on a level that I never have experienced Him before. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord on my soul. Glory to God. Father, we're so thankful for all of your blessings upon us, for all that you do for us. Lord, we're thankful that you watch over us and take care of us. Lord, now as we come into this part of the service, we pray that you have your way. Lord, that we receive the engrafted word of God into our hearts. Let it impact, affect us, and have an effect upon us, Lord, and let us walk in it, live in it, and do what you're teaching us to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we appreciate your presence here. We do. We want you. We want you. It's a given that we need you. I want you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for making us whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing broken, nothing missing. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. We're also very blessed today. We've got Dr. Jim Knight all the way from Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Blessed us with her presence this morning. And as pastors will sometimes do, I just ask her straight up, you want to preach today? And she said she would be happy to bless us with the word of God this morning and break the word of life with us. And so we don't get to see her very often. It's been several months. And she's driven her little car a few miles since you've last seen her. And hopefully, I don't know what her and the Lord's got worked out, but hopefully she'll share some of that with us about her travels, about what's going on in her life, and just be led of the Spirit. Dr. Jean, come on. Amen. Amen. Give her a big hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Pastor, I just want to say I'm so honored to be up here. I really honor your ministry, and I honor you too, you and Miss Vicki. You know, your pastors, they partnered with us on WATV Radio to pray for all the states over the summer. And I tell you what, we learned a lot about drugs. We learned a lot about what's facing our nation. So it is. And I'm very happy to be partnering with this ministry. I love y'all. Let's pray. I'm praying the Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I take authority and dominion in this place over every demon that has lied to every person here. And I tell every one of you to leave this building in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you expose the enemy and his plan over these people's lives today in Jesus' name. And use me as your vessel, as a conduit for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There is angels all in this room. Today is a destiny collision for you. I pray that my story will bless you and encourage you to step out into the waters of faith and tell that devil where to go in your life. D-Day has arrived for the church. We cannot float any longer, straddling the fence, playing around with the devil. The time has come that time is running out. We don't hear many preachers preaching this anymore. Where's the ones preaching hellfire and brimstone? The ones bringing your sin before your eyes to cause you to see the frailty of you as a man before a very holy God. The time is now. We got to pick up our armor. Tell the devil where to go. Get in our war room and tell him you don't have a place in my family, in my life anymore, in Jesus' name. So today, I have a word for a few of you. There's somebody here who's battling with oppression and depression. I want you to stand right now. If you're battling with oppression and depression, okay, if you don't feel like standing because it may be embarrassing, I want you to just bow your heads a minute. Lord, I come against that demon of oppression and depression right now, this person or people in this room. And I tell you to go off them right now in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Why so downcast, O my soul? Lift yourself up in Jesus' name. There's somebody here that your back is hurting. You tried many different pills, but your back is still hurting. The word for you today is, I pray that the Lord will reveal to you who you need to forgive. Sometimes back pain is a result of unforgiveness. The enemy wants to expose your heart through unforgiveness, through offense. When you allow that offense to come in, it exposes your heart to the enemy, and he wants to send all these arrows to destroy your life. That offense is to destroy you. The devil is not playing. This is not a seeker-friendly church. That's why I love coming here. This is not a seeker-friendly church. This is a church that will cause you to get on your face and to get before a holy God and get yourself right. We need churches like that. We don't have enough. Come on. Before I get started on my tour, I want to encourage you to get in there with this pastor. Get on your face before God. And let God show you how he wants to use you in this community. How does he want to use you in your life? He will help you to press through your own self. Our self is our own worst enemy. Oh, here's another word for somebody. The Lord was telling me when I was praying over there in the spirit. Somebody here is being tortured by family members that are trying to cause you to retreat, to cause you to step back. Our family don't do it like that, okay? But the word for you today is, who do you love more? The Bible says if you love your son or daughter more than you do the kingdom of God, you're not worthy of it. If you love that husband, if you love that wife more than the kingdom of God, you're not worthy of it. Choose this day who you will serve. When we pray for our family members, they will come in. But we're not going to step back to please man. We're stepping forward, and if nobody steps forward with us, we're going. We're praying, but we're leaving them. Because we know time is short, and God has a plan and a purpose for every one of you, every one of you. I don't care what the devil has done to you in your past. I don't care what he has convinced you of. You are more than a conqueror. Come on. God has a plan and purpose for you. I was driving. driving through Pennsylvania, Newark, Pennsylvania, and I saw a bunch of occultic writing on the wall. By this time, I'd already been across the nation, 35 states, 18,000 miles. I'm done with the devil. I know who I am in Christ. I know what God has called me to do by now, because I've been out there by myself alone with God. And God brought me here. So I'm done with you, devil. I'm done with you in my nation, and I'm done with you in my life. So I'm seeing all this occultic symbols. So I'm like, I've learned the Holy Spirit, how He reveals darkness to me. I feel this heaviness on my chest. I said, all right, I see y'all out here. So I was riding. I was in three lanes on my side, going onto a split onto the interstate on this highway. And all of a sudden, this woman in a wheelchair just starts coming towards us out of nowhere. She's doing drugs or something out of her mind, and she's like pushing herself. She looks like she has one leg, and she's pushing herself into oncoming traffic. Everybody's slamming on their brakes trying to miss this woman. And so I called 911. I said, you need to come. There's a woman coming in this traffic. She's going to get killed out here. So I get off the phone with them, and I have to make a decision. So I look at my GPS. Which way do I go? All of a sudden, God shut my phone off. He shut the GPS off. I've learned how the angels work, too, when you're on a mission. So I knew, okay, angels, you shut me off because you want me to go back and pray for this woman. God circled me all the way back around to this woman. When I got back to the spot where that woman was, my phone come back on. I'm like, I hear you. I said, bring her to me, Holy Spirit. So I go live. I said, all right, bride. I'm here in Newark, Pennsylvania. I said, I see this is gross darkness here, so we are going to come in agreement with these ministers, because I know I can't go in cities and just go to war. But I've learned to come in agreement with ministers that are already fighting this thing that's been exposed to me. So I'm like, okay, I come in agreement with all these ministers in this city against these devils trying to take this city out. And I partner with them that you're coming down, because this city is going to rise and give God glory in this hour. So I'm praying all this. I get off there. I put my phone up and I turn around. Bam, there she is. So some man is pushing her down the road. And so I'm like, ma'am, come back, come back. And she turns around. She's like, yes. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please come here. So she came over there. And when I looked at her, it was so sad. Because when I was in the state of Washington, I watched a documentary about heroin. Heroin eats your face up. It puts holes in your face and knots and bruises and rots your teeth and all this. And so I looked at her, and this was her. And I said, man, I said, the Lord loves you so much, He shut time down. He shut me down to come back and pray for you, because He's not done with you yet. I said, can I pray for you? And she starts crying. She's like, yes. I said, devil, you take your hands off this woman. Come on, God has a destiny for her. Man. She shall not die. And I tell you, spirit of death, you lose your grips off this woman. You know, I was telling that devil where to go off this woman. God shut me down to come back for her. And so she's sitting there and she's weeping. And then I said, sir, can I pray for you? And he goes, no. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. And so she goes, yeah, he's not a Christian. And so I've learned ministering to people, not to pressure. So I told him, I said, well, sir, can I just pray that God will reveal Himself to you? Yes. Lord, give this man a revelation of who you are. Because God can reveal Himself that He cannot deny. But God put us together for this reason, see. So I told this woman, I said, will you come to my car? I want to give you a book. So I was trying to give her my testimony book, which all my books across the nation, I give them all away just about, as testimonies. And so we went over to the car, and all I had left was Mark of the Beast. I was like, ma'am, I'm sorry, but all I have left is the Mark of the Beast. And she's like, okay. I said, but I want to tell you something. I said, the Lord revealed to me that we're all trees in God's great garden. And do you know that trees have missing bark sometimes? They have missing limbs. They have different color hair, different leaves. Some are short, some are tall, some are skinny, some are fat. But God wants to use every tree in that garden. There's not any tree better than any other tree. And she was crying. And I said, ma'am, I'm going to pray for you again that you will find a church that will accept you the way you are. And not every time she walks in the door, you need a healing. Come up here. You need a healing every time, like she's not important because she has an infirmity, you know, a sickness or something. People with disabilities feel that way. They've told me this. I hate coming to church because every time I come, people are always praying for me. It's like I know I'm already healed. It's just not manifested. I want to be treated like everybody else out there. So this is what I told her. I said, I pray that you will find a church that will let you know God can use you right where you're at, honey. You can be missing a leg and God can use you. Did you know that there's a man traveling the world that has no legs and no arms? He's preaching the gospel in his lap. I told her, I said, ma'am, if you will give God what you have, even though you think you have nothing, God will multiply it. He's a multiplication God. I said, do you see this old car over here? She looked over there and she's like, yeah. I said, God told me to leave with a rod knocking and bald tires and $20 and told me to travel the entire nation. And look where I'm at. 18,000 miles later. I said, he multiplied that car. I said, if he can do that, honey, he can heal you. He can rise you up. He can take you to your destiny. So I want to encourage you in that. Just give God what you got. He knows where you're at. He knows your story. Every one of you is a story. He knows it. He created you this way. He put you in the family you're in. What you went through in your childhood, the enemy tried to stop you because of your future. When I was a little girl, 10 years old, the devil had a minister come after me and he embarrassed me, humiliated me in front of the whole church, called me a liar and kicked me out. Because he asked me where his 16-year-old wild daughter was, and I told him the truth. So he got mad and kicked me up. For years, like 30 years, I was angry at ministers. God knows what my future was. I was going to be working with ministers, possibly married one day. You see what I'm saying? But the devil tried to destroy me, plus being molested and all the other things that happened when I was a kid. Now look, I'm writing books about purity. I'm preaching purity. See how he tried to destroy me? So don't let your past hold you back from what you think you can be in the future. Okay? So here we go. January of this year, I went on the radio and did 40 days fasting and praying with six other prophets across the nation. This is when President Trump was in the middle of his getting ready to be inaugurated, picking all his cabinet and whatnot. And we prayed and fasted every day, and we partnered with heaven, whatever the Holy Ghost would have us pray. This is what birthed all this. Prayer. So halfway through, the Lord took my mother. She passed away. I was out for a week, and then I come back. And then after we finished, 2 weeks later is when I got the assignment. I thought when I came here to Mount Pleasant, God wanted me to start a church. No. God wanted me to start a center. No. Because I'm a very aggressive woman. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all out. I'm go big or go home type of woman. So I was going to do this and do that. And then now that it's all said and done, I see what God did. He put me in my brother's house to give me 6 months with my mother. See, I didn't know it. I didn't know she was fixing to die. But he put me in Mount Pleasant, took me off the road so I could be with her until he took her home. After he took her home is when I got the real assignment. That assignment's what launched me nationwide. Okay, so when I got the assignment, 4 days, he woke me up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, downloaded the assignment. I want you to do 4 strategic revivals across the United States, north, south, east, and west. I want you to travel the entire border. I want you to pray for revival and pray to secure the borders. There will be six cities that you will go to and prophesy over that area I tell you to go to. Three will be on the east side of Mississippi, three on the west. This is the big assignment, so don't, you know, get crazy. But the first city was Miami. I was in Daytona Beach. I got a dream, and the Lord said, I want you to go to the port of Miami, and I want you to prophesy this. There will be no sex trafficking coming in through this port. No drugs, and nothing that harms the integrity of the United States citizens. Now, at the time I'm out here prophesying this, I'm broke, honey. I'm down there with no money, ran out of gas, you know, just about. And so I'm sitting there out here prophesying, you know, and then I get in my car, I'm like, help. You literally drove to the bottom of the United States with nothing. I'm like, God, I need you to come through. So it's about 5 minutes later, I received a phone call. And this woman said, do you have a place to stay tonight? I'm like, no. And she's like, well, I have somewhere for you to stay. So the Lord placed me in a beautiful stable. This is funny. I was on a horse ranch, and I was staying inside the stable, literally. It was so pretty, and I was able to rest. I had already driven Kentucky, D.C., all down the East Coast, all through the, you know, Miami. So I was able to sit in there and rest. And the Lord told me when I was in Lexington, Kentucky, I had a dream there before D.C., and he said, he showed me as a horse. And I was at the gate, you know, bumping the gate, ready to get out and run. And the Lord said, when you get to D.C., I'm releasing that horse. I'm like, okay. So now he's got me in a stable resting. I thought it was funny, but anyways. So I'm in the stable. And then when I leave on the second day after resting, she gives me a little gift. And you know, girls love gifts. And I looked in there, and there's $1,000. I was like, thank you, Lord. Because I needed equipment. I had an old iPhone 5. I said, Lord, I can't do live streaming with this. I had a cheap service, Walmart service, you know, which would not let you live stream without internet. I'm like, I need something serious. So he gave me $1,000, and then her friend gave me $200. She bought all my books and gave me $200. So now I had $1,200. So I called that woman. I said, ma'am, I said, do you want me to put this in Mega Revival, or can I use it for what I need? She's like, do whatever you want. I went to Verizon. I went to Verizon Unlimited. I said, I want the best you got. I got a mission from God to do. So I got the best phone they got, the iPhone 7 Plus. And I got the unlimited plan, which is a little expensive, maybe a month, but boy, after it's over, it was worth it. So I got it. I'm like, on the road again. So I get to Orlando, and then I meet up with all these ministers. I got to interview all these ministers. And I got to interview this one lady, and she was the head over the Liberty Prayer Network. She prays the Supreme Court level every day across the nation. Y'all know we was with her on our thing. And so I sat down with her. I said, okay, I want you to tell Americans what happened behind the scenes when President Trump was elected. You know, like, we want to know what happened in the spirit. What a story. Oh, my gosh, what was happening behind the scenes? Y'all got to watch that. It's amazing. Do you know that the night that he was called to win, that was up till midnight, the call had not been made who won president yet. But the intercessors thought they was done. And then they went to bed, and then the Lord woke her up at 2 o'clock and said, the baby is stuck in the canal. Get back on the floor. She called all the intercessors back. We got to get back to praying. There's a war going on. We got to fight. So they fought until the announcement was made till 4 o'clock in the morning. The announcement come in, Donald Trump won president. So then they was like, whew, we're done. The Lord said, no, you're not. You got 70 more days. You've got to fight until he gets put in, because the enemy does not want it to happen. They fought for 70 days, all the time, praying 24/7, going to war over this man. And when he was put in, and his wife held the two Bibles, one that his mom raised him on, and then the other one, I think, was a presidential Bible. Whenever he did that, this prayer group was with David's tent in D.C., and they rolled out a red carpet and said, "Welcome, Jesus, back in the United States." Is that not amazing? Okay, so then I left there and went back home. And the devil tried to get me to quit. He's like, "Nobody's listening." Because I was thinking America's going to be like, "Yes, we're going to D.C. This is a Christian nation. We're taking our country back. Let's go to war." I'm standing out there by myself. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what is wrong with our country?" You know. So I leave there. I said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to drive until that $20 runs out." So I drove. Somebody blessed me in Mississippi. I went down to Bourbon Street. Well, as soon as I got out of the car, I don't know if you've ever been to Bourbon Street on a Saturday night. I got out, and there was again that gross darkness on my chest. I said, "I see y'all." So I walked over there. I walked into Baptist Church, which is the covering there. They're the ones over this ministry. As soon as I walked inside that church, I felt the glory hit me. I was like, "This is the covering. This is the gatekeeper of this place." So when we was praying, I said, "I need y'all to pray for me. I need you to anoint me so I can operate when I go out here, because I've learned about spiritual authority and regions." Man, they prayed for me. I walked out, and that glory followed me the rest of the night. I was able to minister and love on people because I had the covering. So New Orleans was the next city. Then when I got to Houston, Texas, I was coming up to the Houston skyline. It was so pretty. I love Houston. I have a lot of favor in Houston. Those ministries are the ones that brought me that U-Haul full of furniture and filled my house. So I come up to the Houston skyline, and I said, "I love you, Houston." And the Lord spoke back and said, "You're about to get an upgrade." I was like, "Please give me a car. I need a car, Lord." Let me tell you what. I'm sitting here, this car is a little bitty sports car, crammed to the gill, and I'm out here feeling all claustrophobic. This car, I was like, "Please give me a car, Lord." So, sure enough, the next week, this ministry paid $1,000 and fixed my car. Three ministries chipped together and bought me new tires, $600. They went and bought me clothes. They went and had my nails done, my hair done, you know. Texas, they always like to look pretty. So I left there. I was like, "Well, thank you, Lord. I should have got the upgrade." The day I was leaving, because I was asking the Lord, "How am I going to pay for this, Lord? How am I going to pay for all the way from here to the rest of the United States? I don't know anyone. I knew people in the South, but I don't know anybody from here on out." All of a sudden, this car went bam and hits me right in the car door. I'm like, "Ugh." So I get out, and it's this young girl, a young college girl. She goes, "Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. It's my fault." So immediately, she said it was her fault. I said, "Well, that's all right. You know," I said, "just pay me $1,500 and we'll be all right." Yeah. But anyways, so we had to pull over for the police. So while we was waiting, come to find out she was a Muslim. And I was like, "Mm-hmm, I got you, Lord." So I started witnessing to her. And she goes, "My family's Muslim, Islam, but I don't know if I really am." And so I told her who Jesus is. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" I mean, seriously, I don't believe in making people say a sinner's prayer if the Holy Spirit has not prepared their heart. It's worthless. They're saying it, but they don't mean it. So I said, "Can I pray for you for God to reveal us?" I said, "Yes. Yes, Lord. I pray. Jesus, I pray you reveal yourself to this girl." So then they came and they said, "Ma'am, the insurance company needs to meet you on Monday." I said, "Nope." I said, "I'm on a mission from God and I'm not getting off this mission. You're going to follow me to whatever city I'm in." And they said, "Okay, where are you going to be?" And I told them, "Far, Texas." And they said, "Okay, we'll send somebody to Far." So they come down there and hand me a check for $1,900. I said, "All right." That paid for my hotels from there all the way to the state of Washington. Because, listen, when I was in Los Angeles, that was $750 for a week. You know, and I had no money, so I went ahead and paid them all up, all the hotels. So, when I was in Far Texas, the Lord gave me a dream. He said, your next city is El Paso, Texas. I was like, oh my gosh. My brother, who's military, he said, don't you go to El Paso. They'll kill you in a minute. You know? And so I was not going to go to El Paso. But when the Lord told me to go to El Paso, I went to El Paso. So I went there, and the Lord told me at the beginning of the tour, he said, being that you're single and alone, when you get to big cities, I will have a, you know, a person, an escort, you know, somebody to be with me. I said, thank you, Lord. So when I got there, I didn't have anyone. I did in Houston, I did in Orlando, you know, the big cities. But when I got there, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, go. I want you to go to the border. So I went to the border, and that prayer was different. The Lord said, I come against the spirit of death that tries to come in through Mexico. All these spirits, I was binding all these spirits and said what I said. I left there and went to L.A. I said, Lord, you know, if y'all follow me on Facebook, you see how I am. I love the little things. So as soon as I saw the sign that said Los Angeles, I took a picture. L.A., here I come. Here comes Nashville, baby. So I was like a little girl in all these places, you know. And I told the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, since I'm out here doing your work, I ask you for a few things. One, I want to serve the homeless. So when I go to L.A., I would really like to serve the Dream Center and go on Skid Row. And I would like to see Azusa Street, Bonnie Bray House, and Angela's Temple, which is Amy Simple McPherson. God did every last one and blessed me beyond belief. When I went to the Dream Center, I had so much favor. They heard what I was doing, and they opened up the red carpet, and they really helped me and treated me. And then when I went out to Skid Row, it was the saddest thing. Okay. The Dream Center is well known as Matthew Barnett. It's a huge ministry. They bought like this big hospital, and they bring in drug addicts and homeless people, and they feed them, and they clothe the community. And I mean, it's like the biggest outreach in the United States. It's like famous beyond belief. So they do this thing called Skid Row, where Skid Row is like 10 blocks in L.A. that are blocked off just for homeless people. And it's all the drug people that are just want to do that. They don't want to survive, really. They just want to do drugs and die. It's really how it is. And so I'm riding through there, and I told the Dream Center, I said, I'm doing a documentary, so if it's okay with you, I'd really like to document this. I'd really like to film it. You know, I won't do it in their face because I don't want to humiliate people, you know. So I was, and it's like rows and rows of tents, blocks of tents. Well, pee, where they pee, just literally flows down the little side there like a little gutter, you know, where they just pee. And you walk through there, and they're just laying there, smoking pot, shooting up. And the Dream Center, of course, we know we have to honor the ministry you're under. What their rules are, you honor that. So I wouldn't want to go out there and start, you know, taking things in control the way I think they should be done. No. This is a ministry that's been out here for years that has been proven by this city that we honor when we partner with them. That's how ministry works. You don't go above a minister, you know. So they taught us how to do it, and all they was doing was handing out food. I mean, yes. Handing food and water. And then we would pray if they asked for it. So I had hands full of food, and we was walking up, and this drug addict walked up and asked us to pray for her. So we all gathered around her, and we had our arms like this, and my food was hanging out like this. And listen, while we're praying for this woman, people starts coming up and just stealing food. And I feel it leaving my hands, and inside I'm kind of smirking to the Holy Spirit. Because I'm like, let it go. These people are desperate, you know. I'm about my Father's business. I can't control what they're doing. But I'm not going to stop praying. They can have the food. That's what we're there for, you know. And so I looked across the street, and there's a tent with a big American flag on it. And I looked at it, and I thought, he's probably a veteran. So we walked over there. I said, sir, I said, are you a veteran of the United States military? He said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, sir, I honor you because he's in hell. This is his hell, but he still loves his country, you know? And that just really, really got my heart about America, you know? And so after we finished there, I went to Angela's Temple. The Lord blessed me so much. I interviewed so many people who have been delivered from drugs, and how Angela's Temple and the Dream Center, which the Dream Center runs Angela's Temple now. So I got to interview all that, and they blessed me and let me do live streaming. So I was able to live stream their service, which was awesome. And then I went to Azusa Street. Oh, I did the mother load, you know. I was down there, I was like, yes. I said, please, I need to do a revival in Los Angeles. Can we do one called Revival of the Past and the Revival of the Future? And they're like, yes, we'd love to. So we did it. God bless me. Amen. Then I went to the Bonnie Bray House and did a video there. So I left L.A. and I went up and got to see a redwood tree. How many's ever seen a redwood tree? Do y'all know what a redwood tree is? The biggest tree on earth. They're like massive, like, God, what you have done with this, you know? So I got to see that. And then I'm driving through Oregon, and it looks like a Christmas tree farm. You know, all the trees look like that. And I'm like, wow, I'm in Christmas tree land. You know, it was so pretty. And then I got into the state of Washington, and I went to the Canada border. This is the first time I've ever seen Canada. So I stood over there, and I walked over, and I was like, hello, Canada. And then I walked back, and I took a picture by the sign that said, welcome to the United States, you know. That was awesome. So I prayed at the Canada border, and this was awesome because I got to do a live broadcast. I'm here at the northern tip of the United States praying for our country. So then I went through Montana. Oh my gosh, these states are so beautiful. Let me tell you, I was in Montana and met these two cowboys. I said, guys, can I interview y'all? I said, I'm doing a national documentary. Yes, ma'am, you can. So while I was interviewing them, I said, can I pray for Montana? And they're like, yes. And took their hats off and bowed their heads. I was like, I love you, Montana. I mean, how awesome is that? They're so respectful, you know. So they was really happy I prayed for Montana. And so I left there and went to North Dakota. That was my next city. When I was in Montana, the Lord gave me another dream. He said, your next city is Jamestown, North Dakota. But this time I want you to go to a courthouse and I want you to pray against corruption in the United States. I was like, okay. So I went there, and the Lord told me, in all these six cities, take your shoes off, plant your natural feet on the dirt, and partner with heaven, like we're all one, you know. I don't know if that had anything to do with me being Cherokee Indian or what. You know, this is my native country, I don't know. So anyways, I did that prayer, and I left there and went to Wisconsin and went over to you know, all the other states there. And I had a lot of ministers. Like I was telling Pastor, never look at your numbers on Facebook. They're not accurate. I was on the road and my phone blew up. I have so many followers, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, where are y'all at? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my gosh. They would say, we want to take you to breakfast. We want to take you to lunch. So I met this girl, and she told me, she said, I was a praise and worship leader, and I had sex one night, and I lost it all. One night of pleasure. And she said, my problem is, I don't want to pay the price to get back into ministry. She said, I really admire you for holding strong. Just to throw this in there, single ministers like me We have a different battle to face. Because when you're married, you get more respect in ministry. It's really hard being single. But when you're single and you're keeping your purity and your anointing, that is where your anointing is preserving yourself, keeping yourself set apart for the Lord. So anyways, after we ate, I went out to the car, and she laid on my chest and cried like a baby. And I prayed for this woman. I said, I know the reason she met me is because you have a destiny for her. And I prayed for her. God, restore this minister. She wanted my help. She wanted the prayer. And I partnered with heaven because God wants it. Okay? So I come in agreement with her. I left there. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I come back to the house, and I rested for a week. And when I launched back out, the Lord said, when you go to the New England states, I don't want you to plan anything, buy a hotel or nothing. I'm going to lead you by the day. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're talking about stretching my faith, let me tell you. So I went to Columbus, Ohio, my son's house, and the Lord gave me a dream. He said, okay, your first city is Niagara Falls, New York. He said, I want you to go and prophesy over the falls. And my son gave me $60, okay? So I found a cheap hotel up there. I went ahead and ordered it. And when I got there, it took me to the Canada border. I was like, oh my gosh! So the border guy, he's like, ma'am, why are you in Canada? I said, I didn't mean to be, officer, I promise. He goes, what do you mean you didn't mean to be? I said, I got a hotel room. I didn't realize that the Niagara Falls is halfway in Canada and halfway in the United States. And he's like, oh. He said, pull over there. I was like, okay. Man, they come out there and they search my car like I was a terrorist. So they set me down. They're like, ma'am, what are you doing in the United States? I said, the Lord told me to travel the entire border of the United States with nothing. I've been praying and you know, and they're like, right, you know. It was funny, and then they confiscated my pepper spray. That was the only thing I had on me to protect myself, but anyway. So they confiscated, but they let me go, and so I went to the hotel. The next morning, I'm standing at the falls. Oh my gosh, if y'all have never seen the Niagara Falls, it's beautiful beyond measure. It is so majestic. It's like these big waves of water that comes off the falls and they fall down forever. And it's so beautiful to the ear, like, it's just so beautiful. And then all the waves around it, the way it had, it's just so beautiful. So I'm standing there and I didn't have money for parking. They charge you $20-something just to park. So I snuck over there at this little place. I got there at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So they wouldn't charge me, you know. So I get out there and I go live. I'm like, all right, I'm here at the Niagara Falls and we're going to pray for our country. So we prayed, and this is what the Lord told me to say. I want you to hear this. The Lord told me to say, prophesy that the angels will release the crystal clear waters from the throne into our country. Because the church has muddied the waters. They have polluted the church. So God is bringing judgment to the church for the house of God first. And the crystal clear waters are going to come and just kind of gut the church, basically. So the Lord told me to say that from the mega to the minor. And I did. And then he said, like, the only way I can use the bride in this hour like I want to, I had to clean her first. So we're fixing to get really clean. So I left there, and I said, okay, Lord, all I got is $20 again. This $20 deal, I fill up my car with gas. I said, I'm going to drive until I run out of gas. I drove, and I literally ran out of gas. I'm in New York. I have a powwow with God. I'm done. I've been on the road for 3 months. I'm tired of living like that. So I get out of the car. I set my phone up on the car, and I go live. I said, all right, bride, the Lord told me to be transparent. I am tired. Listen, I'm like, I've been out here on the road three months with nothing. I am tired of this. I'm telling the bride, like, I'm done. The Lord has cut off my money. If I'm stuck here in New York, I will serve the Lord here in New York. I am tired. So I get off there and I'm like praying in tongues, walking back and forth, having this powwow with God. And I was like, ooh, I said, I know you called me to do this, Lord. I know you did. So when I finish, my son calls. Mom, he's like, I put $30 in your PayPal account. He said, get back on the road. I'm like, all right, Lord. So I got back on the road, $30. Next thing you know, this person donated $200. This person donated $100. This person donated $50. They gave me like $1,200, which finished my tour. So when I got to the next city, it was New Hampshire. The Lord gave me a dream in New York, so I go to New Hampshire. Went to New Hampshire, the Lord gave me a dream and said, go to Portland, Oregon. Went to Portland, Oregon, the Lord gave me a dream and said, go to, this is funny, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Yes, Pawtucket. I was like, Pawtucket. So I went to Pawtucket, and it had a beautiful creek. And I was out there praying over the creek. That was one of the cities. And I prayed over the creek, and the Lord delayed me. I was in a church with a pastor. And by the time I finished interviewing them, it was too late. I couldn't go because he said the next city was New York City. I was like, I'm going to need some money for New York. By then, I'd already ran down to $200. So I got, the Lord told me, he said, give this missionary that $200. I was like, I finally got money. You want me to give it away, Lord? I said, okay. All right, so I gave that missionary all I had. So the Lord wouldn't give me a dream until I got to New York City, even though I was delayed at night, no dream. So the next day, the Lord gave me $400. I was like, okay. So I got to New York City. This is awesome. New York City, little country girl from Nashville, living in Mount Pleasant. I come up on the New York City sign. I took a picture. New York City, here I come. Here comes Nashville, you know. And so I was so excited. And I was driving through the night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I see all the big lights of the city. I'm like, this is so awesome, you know. And I drive over to New Jersey, is where I got the cheap hotel. So I went to the hotel in New Jersey. I was like, I thought you was, you know, it was the cheapest one in New York. But it was nice. It was one of them big tower ones where they park your car and they have shuttles and all this. You know, I'm like, wow, I hit the mother load, you know. So I get in there and I do a live broadcast. So I told the bride, I said, bride, I just want to thank you for giving me money. I said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here in New York City. I said, can you believe what the Lord has done? You know, like, I knew I was at the end of my journey, so all I was doing now was thanking the Lord. And so we prayed, and the next morning, I reserved a tour company. The hotel was like $200, the tour company was like $75. So I called the tour company, I said, did you get my reservation? He said, yes. And so he said, well, I'm going to come get you myself, ma'am. I said, okay. Well, when he got there, it was the owner. He was like, ma'am, when did you make that reservation? I said, last night, about 12:30 in the morning. He said, there's no way you can do that. This machine does not do that. I said, well, the only thing I can think of maybe is when it asked for the date, it wouldn't click where you could click a calendar. So I just put in the date, July something, something. He goes, that's how you got in. The Lord got me in. And so he said, what are you doing here in New York City? So I told him, I've been praying through the United States to secure the borders, interviewing Americans, praying for revival. And he said, okay, well, where do you want to pray in New York City more than any other place? I sat there in the back of that van, and I was thinking, this is you, God. I hear you, Lord. You're saying, I brought you here. Know where you want to go. And I said, I want to pray for my president. And so I want to go to Trump Towers. And he said, I'll make that happen. So he said, I will call your driver and I will tell your driver, take her to Trump Towers. So I got in the bus. I got to meet these people from all over the world that was touring New York City. We went to all the spots, World Trade Center, Madison Square Garden, and all this. And It was really neat. I got to pray at all these spots, do live streaming. I got to stand where George Washington was inaugurated. Oh, I was like, yes, Lord, that was awesome. Well, when I was at the Statue of Liberty that morning, my son paid for that for me. When I was there, I got a phone call from a lady, and she said, my son is here, and he just found out he has cancer. So would you pray for him and lay hands on him while you're in the city? So I'm thinking, I want to just pass out right there because I was like, Lord, this woman trusts me with her son. Why, I'm so honored. You know, all the people across the United States that asked me to pray for them, I'm so honored and humbled, you know, that they would trust me enough to partner with them and pray with them. And so I said, yes, but if you can ask him to meet me after work, I would really appreciate it because I have to do this tour. And so I didn't hear anything of it for the day, so I'm walking through the city. Listen, as y'all can tell, I put on a little weight on this tour. Let me tell you something. I was out there in New York City, and I was about to die. You gotta walk for miles there, you know. My feet were blistered red. I was hot and sweaty. My hair was down, so it was all matty. I was like a hot mess by the time I heard back from this woman. And she's like, he's going to meet you when he gets off work. I was thinking, I hope this guy's ugly. So, you know, so here he comes. And he's in this suit looking like GQ magazine. All good looking. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, God help me, you know. And so he's like, are you Dr. Knight? I was going to cry. Yes, I am. I said, listen, sir, this guy's a lawyer. I said, I used to work for a lawyer, you know. So I understand how it is. I'm very sorry about the way I look and probably smell too. So I don't know. And he's like, it's okay. So he said, let's go eat. So we went to this restaurant. Now, this is after all day touring the city and doing all my praying. There's only one spot I had left, which was Times Square. Because I asked the bride, where do you want me to pray? And they gave me all these sites. So we go to this fancy restaurant. So being that it's been forever since I've been on a date, this guy pulls out a chair. And I'm like, okay. Walk to the other side. I walk to the other side and sit down. And he's like, okay, you know. I forgot all about this stuff, you know. And so he sits down, and he starts talking, and I can tell, you know, he's kind of, he don't know me, you know. And so he's like, well, what are you doing in the United States? So I'm telling him. And so he told me about his cancer. And when he said that, I gave him a word. And when I did, it was like a sword in the spirit just went, phew, right on his head. After that, he cracked. We had the best time the rest of the night. Because then he knew I was for real. I wasn't some, you know, freaking person out here. So we laughed, and we left there. He said, okay, what do you want to do while you're here? I said, I want to go to Times Square. I said, I promised the bride I would go to Times Square. He said, okay, well, let's go back to my apartment so I can change clothes, and I want to show you something. I'm thinking, okay. So we go back to his apartment, and I'm dying walking there anyway. Because I'm like, help me, Jesus. I didn't walk in to know, first of all, I'm this much out of shape. Second of all, that I'm dying, you know. And so we get to his place, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. He lives in one of these high tower buildings. And I walked in, and I'm like, wow, this place is nice, you know. So we get in the elevator, and he hits roof. I'm like, okay. So we get up there, it's at sunset. Listen, I walked out, and I saw all of New York City. I just started crying. I was like, oh, my gosh, what you've done, Lord. This is you. You brought me to the top of New York City. I'm like, I'm so honored that you would call me to this mission. So this lawyer guy was so funny because I was his, like, toy for the night because he loved watching my reaction everywhere I went. He's all, you know, been there for years, so he's used to everything. And I'm like, ooh, ah, look at this, look at that, that's so awesome. So I was standing up there crying, and he said, "It's beautiful, isn't it?" I said, "Oh my gosh, and you get to see this all the time. I just can't imagine." And so I said, "I've got to go live and share this with the bride." I said, "Will you tell them where everything's at?" He said, "Yes." So we did it. Then afterwards, he said, "Okay, how about if we go over here and sit down and pray?" Well, y'all know I love praying outside, and this was at a couch. And I sat down, and the presence of the Lord was so thick out there. It was so holy. It's the only way I can explain it, because I knew this ain't about me. This is Him and Him. God only put me here to partner what He already wants to do in this man. So I just prayed, "Lord, You have a destiny for this man. You want to heal this man. I pray that all of it happens," and all this. It was a really intimate moment. So we left there and went down to his apartment. I walked in, I'm like, "Oh my gosh." It was like what you see in a movie where it's all glass and all you see is the city. So he's like, "I'll be out in a minute." So I go in there and he comes out, and I'm like, "All right, let's go." So we went to Times Square. It was amazing. All the lights out there, the glitz and the glamour. And we was walking through there, and he was laughing at me. And this guy walked to me and he goes, "Ma'am, why don't you come in here and watch this magic show?" I about knocked that man out. I turned around and I said, "Sir, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think so." And he goes, "Ma'am, it's family friendly." I'm like, "No, it's not either." So, and then the lawyer guy, he's like, "Look at that guy over there." He wanted to see my reaction. This guy was practically naked out there on Times Square with a sign saying, "Abide in Jesus." So I was like, you know, I want to go over and say something to that guy so bad, you know. It was funny. But I had the best night. So this guy took me down to the train station to send me home back to New Jersey. We get in the train, and this is what I loved about him. He protected me. He made sure nobody in New York City even touched me. He pulled chairs out. He opened doors for me. He preferred me. He asked me what I wanted to do. Girls, if you're single and dating, don't ever settle for less. Anyways, so we're sitting in the train. It's packed. And all the business people are there that just got off work. And this guy, this homeless guy, is in the middle of the train. And he's standing there like this with his hat out for money. He goes, "People, I need you to give me money." Yes, he did. He's like, "I'm starving. I'm homeless. And you better give me your money." So everybody's doing this, you know, ignoring him. So I'm sitting here having this conversation with the Holy Spirit. I said, "All right, Holy Spirit, I'm sitting here ministering to this man. And now this has come before my face, a homeless man. You know I cannot sit here and say I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ministering to you, and not help this man." You know, I'm telling the Holy Spirit this. So I reach in my pocket, pull out my money, and put it in this man's hat. He goes, "Oh, thank you, ma'am." I said, "Sir, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'd love to pray for you." Y'all should have seen the look on this man's face. He had his, I'm sitting there, and he had his hat. He goes, "Right. I need your money. I need y'all to give me." It was so funny. So all them business people was looking at me like, see what we go through in New York City? So I said, "I forgive that man." So he laughed at me all night. So he paid for everything, the trip back. So when I got to Penn Station, he was sending me off to New Jersey. He was standing there at the train watching me get in. He's like, "Waving." I'm like, "Help me, Jesus." So I got in the train. I'm like, "Lord, I'm not settling for anything less than that. Come on now." You know? And so I went to New Jersey. I left there and went to, the next day I went to Pennsylvania, and I had one state left, Pennsylvania. And then I was in D.C. and I was done. 4 months. I was like, "I'm right here at the end, Lord, please let me finish." I got there. I got a tour. I was able to stand at the Liberty Bell. I was able to sit where George Washington sat with John Adams praying over the Constitution in that church. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, huh, Lord, what you have done, where you have brought me to, yes, Lord. And so I left there. That's when I had the Newark experience with that woman. I left there and went to D.C. This was the final clincher. I got to D.C. and partnered with a ministry called American Center for Prayer and Revival. I was like, oh my gosh, right in front of the Supreme Court. I walked in, she goes, you're sleeping in this room. This says Capitol Hill Prayer Room. This is the room where Lou Eagle received his call. I was like, I've hit the mother load, you know, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. And so I slept there that night. I was like, Lord, I really thank you for what you're about to do in D.C. And I had a meeting the next day with the Secret Service, Parks Department, and the Homeland Security. And I was praying, Lord, what do I say to these people? I have nobody with me. I'm by myself. And what do I say when they won't know how he's doing this march? So I just prayed the Holy Spirit would give me strength. I went to the meeting. I sat down at this table with all these people. And they're looking at me like, ma'am, how many do you think will come to the march? And I told them, I said, let me tell you my story. And I told them, I said, I'm by myself. I'm just obeying the Lord. I said, but I know that if he can take me 36 states, 18,000 miles, that he can do a march. I said, I have no idea how he's going to do this. I said, but it's all just complete faith. I said, but he did tell me, Gideon's army of 300. I said, if I can find 300 sold-out soldiers that will march, declare we are a Christian nation, we're done with you, devil, we're taking our nation back, and we're going to step into the next level that God has for our country. And they said, you know what they did? Because of my journey, they blessed me. They didn't charge me. They upgraded me. So I know God is setting me up. Yes. They said, okay, we're going to put you in Sylvan Park. Well, first, I was trying to do it beside the White House. And they said, ma'am, there's two things about you doing it at the White House you may not like. I said, what's that? And they said, well, the president comes first. So if a threat at all comes to our president, you will have to uproot and move right then. If you're praying or whatever. And I told him, I said, sir, no, please move me somewhere else because I don't want to interfere with the president, you know. I honor him, you know. So they said, okay, well, we're going to put you in Sylvan Park. It has a stage with electricity. He said, are you going to show your documentary that you're preparing? I said, great idea. Yes, I will. Because I asked Americans two questions. Number one, what is God doing in our country today? You ought to hear what America is saying. It is funny. The second one is, what would you say to our president? That was funny too. So I said, yes, I will play that. They said, well, all you'll need is a projector, a sound system, and a big screen, and you can do it. Face is the monument, and the voices will go right into the White House. And then when we march from there all the way past the monument by the White House and back. I said, let's do it. So I left there coming back home. I'm like, all right, Lord. I stopped off there in Gatlinburg, and a ministry said, the Lord told me to give you a projector and a sound system. So I have it now. All I need is the big screen. So I'm excited about that. So now here I am getting ready for the march in just a few weeks. We have a Nashville rally, if y'all can come, August 26th in Nashville. Bring your patriotic stuff, your flag, your shirts, all that. We're going to pray for our nation. Also, if you're friends with me on Facebook, for the next 21 days, I'm going to go to war for our nation. I'm praying every day for the next 21 days. And then on September the 9th, the team, we're traveling up there for a few days prior. We're partnering with this revival ministry in D.C. And we're going to do some prayer circles around D.C. and whatnot and pray with some of the intercessors there and maybe do a live broadcast. And then we're doing the march on that Saturday. So if the Lord leads you to come, we would love for you to come to be a part of that march. I thought it was going to be nationwide and everybody's going to be happy to say, come on, we're taking our country back. But it's not like that because the enemies went like this on the church. So the Lord, another thing is the Lord told me in Houston, he said, the reason that it's not the way you think it is because the Lord has you hidden. He is going to reveal to you the sickness in the church. And sure enough, I started visiting churches and started seeing what he was talking about, the world, the muddiness of the waters in the church mixed in the world. So he revealed all that. So that's something I'm going to have to write in a book in the future. But anyways, I want to encourage y'all. This is the time for you to be serious and to rise up in what God has called you to do. He has a destiny for every one of you. And I'm a woman, if you read my life story, you would never think would be standing here right now. My past, it would look so impossible for me to be doing anything like this. But the Lord can. He wants to use your vessel for His glory and His honor. And one other thing about the nation. One thing that changed in my heart is, first of all, I know who I am now. So I'm like, thank you, Lord. I know and am settled in my heart of who I am. Secondly, I love my country. I will die for my country. I saw that on the road. I was going through a trailer park, and there was a big American flag there, and I thought, that's right. Riding through another state, seeing all the American flags on those houses. I'm like, that's right. I drive through Jamestown, North Dakota, and I see a team fixing the roads, and they're in the middle of the roads in their big equipment with a big American flag. I took a picture of that, and I said, this is our country. The flag represents unity in our country. Because no matter what people believe or where they're at in life, like the man on Skid Row, they're an American. That's the one thing that glues us all together. Jesus, of course, but I'm saying as a country, is us being in unity and we love our country. So I said, when God blesses me with a home, I am planting an American flag in my home. This is my land. I stake it. And God also showed me about praying for land. And Pastor, I'm about done. Praying for land. Did you know that land has destinies? It does. Hohenwald has a destiny. God has something for her that is meant for her. And you people in Hohenwald make up that land. You're like one with the land. So when you pray for regions, you're praying for all of it. You're praying for the land. You're praying for the people there. You're praying for the businesses. You're praying for the churches. It's all one. That's why, like, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, He destroyed everything. Because it's all one to Him. Israel. Israel, the country, the people, it's all one to Him. But every one of us states are like different personalities. The trees are different, the grass is different, the mountains are different, the cattle is different, the birds are different. In every state it has its own personality, but we're all one. And that's how the body of Christ should be. We're all different, but we're all one in the body of Christ. Okay, y'all bow your heads and let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, and I give you honor today for the journey that you took me on. For our country, partnering together with what you're about to release in our nation for the revival that's coming and for the transformation of the church that's coming. Lord, all of the people within the sound of my voice are a part of that. You have a destiny for them. You built them and designed them and created them for such a time as this. I speak destiny into their life. I speak the fullness of the mission that you have called them to come to the surface. I come against every lying devil that's lied to them and said, you are not, or you cannot, or or you're not worthy or anything like that, that lie is exposed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray freedom over the hearts of men, freedom over their spirits, and I pray healing in their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, I speak to the dormant bride that the enemy has tried to push down and oppress, and I speak life into her and command those dry bones to rise up in the name of Jesus, taking her position in the army of the living God with all power and authority as a son and daughter of the living God in this hour. Lord, the earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. This is the hour for them to manifest. This is a clarion call for them to be manifested in the earth. We partner with that today, Lord. All of the sons and daughters in this room, we call them forth in the name of Jesus. We go beyond the veil that has tried to lie to them or blind them from their purpose and destiny. And we speak to their spirit man to rise. Rise up. Come out of the miry clay. Come out of the past. Come out from all hindrances that so easily bind you. Any addictions, come off them right now in the name of Jesus. Any spirits of suicide, come off in the name of Jesus. Spirit of death, go in the name of Jesus. Freedom to your people, Lord. Freedom in every way in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Holy Spirit, the word says that you are the searcher of man's heart. So I pray you search all their hearts right now. And any bitterness root of unforgiveness, I pray gets exposed right now. Bring it to the surface. And whoever that is that the Holy Spirit just brought to your mind that you need to forgive, release it. Say, I forgive, and say their names. I forgive, and say their names. I forgive, and say their names. And the Holy Spirit will help you to let that go. I can just feel some of you have a tightness in your stomach where it feels so unbearable to forgive. But Holy Spirit, I just pray you wrap them like a glove right now. Yes, the enemy, the devil, is a liar. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants you to hold on to that bitterness. Hold on to that anger because he thinks he's empowering you. No, it's empowering him in your life. And he's been exposed today. So, Lord, we curse that at the root or speak to that thing until it be cut off then in the name of Jesus. I don't believe it's being cursed, but I'm just saying cut that off in the name of Jesus so that they can be set free. And, Lord, I pray that you help them to contact that person and let them know they forgive them. And that they let them go. If they're not ready, let them know when the time is right to contact that person and say, I love you, brother, sister, I forgive you, and I release you and let you go. In Jesus' name. And there's people in here that had a destiny that you set aside. You let it go because you didn't want to pay the price like that lady I was telling you about earlier. You know the price you got to pay to step into that destiny. And this may be some of you online thinking this. You set it aside because it got too hard. The battle got too hard. Right now, I'm encouraging you. Reach back and pick it back up. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. We can be nothing without Him and can't do anything without Him. Yes, it is insurmountable by ourselves. But with the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Him that gives us strength. So, Lord, give my brother and sister strength to reach back there, pull that back up, and let it be resurrected today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Restoration. I call restoration into your heart, restoration into your family. Some of your families that have been broken, I call restoration back right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, I Some of the division has been in your family is because you cannot forgive. You need to search your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart and release that. Because we don't trust in man when you're married. We don't trust in man. We trust in the Lord. And they're going to let us down sometimes. They're going to hurt us sometimes. But we have to forgive and let them go and give it to God so that we can fulfill our destiny. And they can too. So I pray restoration in families, healing in marriages. Healing in marriages. Some of you parents, I feel like, are not being strict enough on your children. This is what I hear in the spirit. You are the guard over your home in the spirit and physically. And when you allow that child to sin and you give them permission to sin, you will answer for that. Because they're your children. And you will answer for everything that happens to them until they're 18 years old, until God releases you from them. So when you allow them to sin, you're causing the enemy to have a place in their life. When your kids don't understand the boundaries that you set, you need to say, you need to pray about it, son or daughter. Because I'm the head of this house, and I have to answer to God for you. So when God gives you a boundary for that child, just like President Trump, God told him to secure the borders. The Lord told me before I left, I'm the one telling President Trump to secure the borders. Because I secured the Garden of Eden when they sinned. I put an angel at the gate and said, you're not allowed back in. So when God tells you to do something to your children, say you're not allowed to play that video game, and then your child turns around and does it, and you don't discipline them for that, then it falls on your head to the Lord. Because you're not being a good parent. You're not disciplining them. You know, God loves those he disciplines. He does us the same way. When we're in disobedience, we pay the price. But anyways, so Lord, we just thank you and give you praise for what you did today, Lord. And we pray, God, for every heart here, that they be encouraged and that they will know and learn and grow in who they are in Christ, and that they will become sons and daughters of God, picking up their armor and telling the devil where to go in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor. If anybody needs prayer, I'd be happy to pray for them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gina. We appreciate that so much. If you need or want prayer for anything, feel free to come up. Need prayer there? All right, just stand right there just for a minute, but you don't go anywhere. And let's go ahead and stand our feet. And I want to release you and speak a blessing over you. But if you need prayer, you come up and we will be here to pray with you. But I want to go ahead and pray over you and speak a blessing. Father.